by reading Acts chapter 19. Acts chapter 19, the first nine verses or so. And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus, and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were ye baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him which should come after him, that is, on Christ Jesus. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. What an attitude. An attitude of obedience. Did you hear that? They received the word of the Lord and were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied. And all the men were about 12, and the story doesn't end there. Verse 8, And he went into the synagogue and spake boldly for the space of 3 months, disputing and persuading the things concerning the kingdom of God. But when divers were hardened and believed not, but spake evil of that way before the multitude, he departed from them and separated the disciples, disputing daily in the school of one Tyrannus, and so on. Okay, divers were hardened. First they're hardened, they believe not, then they speak evil of that way before the multitude. There's no question about it. You should know, and I certainly know, that the baptism of the Holy Ghost is spoken against. It was born in adversity. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples, the 120, the 3,000, I suppose, were all mocked by many of the people. These men are drunk, full of new wine, they said. And so the experience of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the fulfillment of the promise of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, was born in adversity. It has always been spoken again. It has always been mocked and ridiculed. But I thank God today that that did not overwhelm me and scare me away from this experience. But I did receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is fought by many. Why, churches are split over the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever heard about some pastor that got away with a Pentecostal pastor and received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he went back and told his board and went back and told his church that he had received the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Or maybe he didn't even tell them. Maybe his face just began to glow and he began to preach to the people with a fresh and new anointing from heaven. And all of a sudden they take him aside and they say, you can no longer be our pastor. There's something different about you and we don't want you around here. Why? Now he's got an insight and a revelation on the Word of God that he never had before. Now he's filled with the Holy Ghost and he's preaching the truth. And churches are split because pastors or even people in their church, segments of their church, receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and speak with other tongues. Not only churches are split over someone receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but households, homes are broken over people, members of their church, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Have you ever heard of that? Sure. Some son or daughter comes home and says, Mom, Dad, I've been delivered from drugs. I've been set free. I'm no longer an alcoholic. I'm no longer possessed with lust. I've been set free by the power of the Holy Ghost. Well, what happened to you, son? What happened to you, daughter? I went to that little Pentecostal church down the west side of town and I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, what was it like? Well, I spoke in other tongues and I was baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And I'm a new son. I'm a new daughter, Dad, Mom. Isn't it wonderful? I'll cause you trouble no longer. That's happened right here in this church. You know what Dad and Mom said? I would rather have you on dope than in that church. That's actually happened. Not more than once. I would rather have you and they name all the things that they'd rather have them do of the world than go to that little old Pentecostal church.
That's right. Homes are broken over the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But in spite of churches being split and households being broken up over the baptism of the Holy Ghost, God keeps right on pouring out the Holy Ghost in spite of all the problems it causes, and nothing can hinder Him. Praise the Lord. Look at Isaiah chapter 43, verse 13. Isaiah 43:13. Yea, before the day was, I am He, and there is none that can deliver out of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? Praise the Lord. I will work, and who shall let it? Slip over a few pages to Isaiah chapter 46, verses 10 and 11. Declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times the things that are not yet done, saying, My counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure. Calling a ravenous bird from the east, the man that executeth my counsel from a far country. Yea, I have spoken it, I will also bring it to pass. I have purposed it, I will also do it. My wife and I and daughter love to sing that song. It might as well be me. Somebody's going to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and live for God. It might as well be me. And it can be you if you want what God has for you today. Praise the Lord. I have a track here because we're talking about the Holy Ghost being fought by many, churches being split, households being broken up. But in spite of all that, God keeps pouring out the Holy Ghost. Now here's another attempt to destroy truth. Here's a tract called The Bondage of Deceit, and it's written by or published by the Tabernacle Baptist Church, Lubbock, Texas. And it's stamped here, distributed, I suppose, by the Bible Baptist Church, Neillsville, Wisconsin. Now they read our literature. You don't mind if we read theirs, do you? The name of this tract is The Bondage of Deceit, and it's a personal testimony of someone who got into a Pentecostal church and now they got delivered from the Pentecostal experience. And I won't read the tract to you, but I just want to read a couple of statements that this person made in the tract. Who is the person? Evelyn Upchurch. Evelyn Upchurch. Okay. It says here, several months after receiving the tongues and alien and alternating from day to day between glory and misery, a still small voice spoke definitely to me, saying that tongues were a form of Satan worship. You see, all the attempts at destroying faith in God's word, here's one of them right here. Tongues, a still small voice spoke to her and said, it's always a woman, isn't it? That spoke to her and said tongues were a form of Satan worship. I talked to, women are deceived, really. Women really are deceived easier than men. And that's why Paul said, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in subjection. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Now that doesn't go over very big in 1987. When women are flexing their muscles and wielding their power in ERA and NOW and Women's Lib and everything else seems to be in vogue today. But the Bible says, the Holy Bible, the unchanging Word of God says, Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. That's what it says. And he says, therefore, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man. That's what the Bible says. And I'm not a woman hater, I'm a Bible lover. Women were created by God to be a help fit for a man, appropriate for the man. That's what the Bible says. Amen. She was taken out of his side. He wasn't taken out of hers. Okay. And she should be by his side, serving God with her husband leading the way. Now that's just the Holy Bible. That's just the teaching of the Word of God. You know why we have so much trouble in the world today? So many separations, so many divorces, so many broken homes. You can attribute a great percentage of it to that very mistake that people are making today. And you know when these homes are healed? You know when these divorces are, or these marriages are repaired? When men and women get back to the Word of God. When they go back to the Word of God and do it God's way, happiness is the result. freedom, liberty, joy, and peace. That's the result of doing things God's way. But there's a snake out there, a liar out there, who's telling everybody that the world's right and God is wrong. Oh no, God's right and the world's wrong. All that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is of the devil. It's not of God. So the world is wrong. The Bible says it's all wrong, always wrong, never has been right, never will be right. God is right. Let God be true and every man a liar. When there's ever a question of who's right, Professor so-and-so down at the university, or Jesus Christ, it's always Jesus Christ. Everybody that believes that, shout amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, so when somebody comes along and says, this is my experience, this woman says that a voice definitely spoke to me and said tongues were a form of Satan worship. Sure. I talked to a doctor one time about baptism in Jesus' name. I had him convinced. He saw it. Tears were coming down his face. And he said, well, I want to talk to my wife first. And so I went and came back some time later and said, doctor, are you ready? Ready to be baptized? And you know what? He said, well, my wife's got something to say. And she came and told me that she prayed about it, about being baptized in Jesus' name. And she said to me, Pastor Tanner, Jesus spoke to me and told me I didn't have to be baptized in his name. Now, you know good and well, Jesus never told her any such thing. And you know that God was not that still small voice that spoke to this woman here. Amen. Here's another part of it. Then it never occurred to me that the very enemy that I wanted power against could deceive me in such a manner, because I departed from the teaching of the Word of God. In asking for a physical and emotional experience, I fell victim to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Okay, that's enough of that. But that's one point I wanted to make, that there are all kinds of attacks against the baptism of the Holy Ghost today. The baptism of the Holy Ghost has been misrepresented. It has been misunderstood. It has been misused, and it has been abused. Yet all of this does not alter the promise of the real and the genuine. Now, we had a case right here in town. Licensed psychiatrist was found guilty and convicted for sex crimes, right? Okay, we have had city policemen and state policemen who have been found guilty and convicted and dismissed from the police force, right? And we had an article in our paper here in Eau Claire where medical doctors have been found guilty of malpractice, right? But we still have a police force, don't we? And we still have the medical profession, don't we? Do we condemn the whole medical profession because a few doctors are convicted of malpractice? Do we throw out the Word of God because a few people who claim they received the baptism of the Holy Ghost and didn't live right afterwards didn't live right? Do we throw the whole Bible out? No, I don't care what anybody else does. If the Word of God says it and teaches it, that's it for me. Praise the Lord. We're going by the Word of God. One of their arguments is that we don't build doctrine on experiences. No, good for you. You don't build doctrine on hamburger and pickle experiences and dreams, but you build doctrines on Holy Ghost Bible experiences. If the Bible says the baptism of the Holy Ghost is an experience and you'll speak with tongues when you receive it, then you can go right ahead and build on that experience because it's the truth of the Word of God. And then it has to be within the framework of what the Scripture teaches, within the guidelines of what the Scripture teaches, because otherwise people could just go astray. Amen. Paul even gave us good instruction when he said the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. And that is so some wild, emotional person doesn't come in and just destroy a church service. So Paul got very definite about that. We can go into that on another study of the gifts of the Spirit. But we do not condemn the whole medical profession because one doctor was guilty of malpractice. And we do not condemn the baptism of the Holy Ghost because some character went out and lived like the devil after he received the baptism of the Holy Ghost or because somebody had an experience like this. Jesus is still baptizing hungry people with the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. Attempts to dissuade people against the baptism of the Holy Ghost. I have an article in my files, and it's entitled Two Views of Pentecostalism. I thought, well, that's interesting. That's interesting. And I, before I even read the article, I said, I know what that man means. He means that God's got one view and I've got another. Because there is only one view on Pentecostalism. There's only one view on the Holy Ghost, and that's God's view. All other views, one true view. All other views are false views. So when somebody says, writes an article, two views of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, then it must be God's view versus their view. Isn't that going to be interesting someday when the debate is set? And on this side of the table stands the... Now excuse me, but these things have all been made public. The American Baptist Convention, which has publicly printed and denounced the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We are opposed to it. We are against it. We do not believe in it. It is not for today. It is a false doctrine. I have that on record. I've read it to this church. I have those articles. I have the pictures of pastors and everything that have said these things. But isn't that going to be interesting when on this side of the debate table stands this whole denomination, and on the other side of the debate table stands the prophet Isaiah, and they have a debate. And Isaiah, they say, it's not for today. And Isaiah says, with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people, yet for all this they will not hear. This is the rest wherewith he may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Praise the Lord. Well, that's going to be some debate, isn't it? And then when Billy somebody and somebody else write books on the Holy Ghost, and they say it's really not what a lot of Pentecostals think it is, and it's, of course, it's what I think it is, and so on. And on the other side of the table stands up the Apostle Peter, and 11 other gentlemen stand up with him, and the debate is on. It's not for today, this one says. And Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promise is unto you and unto your children and to everyone, all that are afar off. Wow, what a debate. Boy, I'm glad I'm on this side.
Amen.
Because the other side will lose the debate. Stand on the Bible. But I'm a Catholic, I'm a Lutheran, I'm a Presbyterian, I'm a Methodist. You're not getting into heaven on that. Have you been born again? Have you repented of your sins? Have you obeyed the gospel? Have you obeyed the word of God? That's where it's at. Can't hide behind some church door. You have to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You have to have a personal experience with Jesus Christ to go to heaven. That's what the Bible says. Except the man be born of the water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That's what the Bible says. Praise the Lord. And I feel sorry for people that are in church pews this morning listening to preachers who are telling them that being born again is going on vacation, going on a fishing trip, a boat trip. Now, several years ago, we dismissed our morning and evening service on a Sunday in this church, and we had one long afternoon service. We sent everybody out in groups to different churches in this city, and then we came back for a testimony service. My wife and I went to one church over here, and the service was so brief we had time to go to another church. On the same Sunday morning, we took in two church services and started after our church started and got out before our church would have ended. Two church services. The subject that day was born again. The preacher stood up before all of those poor people and said, and I don't quote word for word, I give it to you in essence, and anybody that was with me that day knows that I'm telling you the actual facts, the truth of the matter is. He stood up and he said, Jesus said you must be born again. Now folks, that means that when you're not born again once in your life, you're born again many times. Every summer, every year, you need a vacation. And so you go on this fishing trip and you are born again. You're all refreshed, born again. And he kept on like that for his whole sermon, which was, 20 minutes, or it was the whole service 20 minutes, I can't remember. But it was very, very brief. And I looked around at those people and tears came to my eyes. I was crushed. I said, how can we reach these people, these poor, deceived people? Amen. two views on Pentecostalism. No, there's only one view that's true, and that's God's view.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Did God make a mistake when he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom? Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 20, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and I will give unto you, Peter, the keys to the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Now Jesus prayed especially for Peter, and I'd like to build up to a point. Turn to Luke chapter 22, verses 31 and 32. Luke chapter 22, verse 31 and 32. "And the Lord said, Simon, Simon," that's Peter, "behold, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I, Jesus, have prayed for you, Peter, that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." So we find that Jesus gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, and Jesus prayed especially for Peter. Now, listen to the one Jesus gave the keys to, or you are ignoring Jesus. Common sense? Good judgment? Right? If Jesus said, "I'm leaving, but I'm leaving the keys with you, Peter," and then he went to heaven, we are ignoring Jesus if we ignore the one who has the keys. And it was Peter who preached the first sermon after Jesus ascended into heaven and left Peter the keys. And it was Peter who stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then gave an altar call when they said, "What must we do to be sent to? What must we do?" And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, for the promises unto you and to your children and all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." Now you can't improve on that message. How can you improve on that message? That's the anointed, inspired, holy word of God in Acts chapter 2. Now, he said, "Repent." Repent? I've never done anything wrong. Well, for your information this morning, you have done something wrong. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. The Bible says there is none righteous, no, not one. That's why Peter stood on the day of Pentecost and said, "Repent. If you want to be right with God, if you ever want to go to heaven, repent." Jesus came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist came preaching, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Jesus said, "Except you repent, ye shall all likewise perish." And so if there's anybody here this morning that has never faced the fact that they are sinners, I plead with you, with the love of God and in Jesus' name, come face to face with the fact that you are a sinner and that you can repent. Jesus didn't say to the multitude, or Peter didn't say to the multitudes, when they said, "What shall we do?" He didn't say, "Come up here. You kill Jesus. We have a cross reserved for you. Now we're going to kill you. The law says an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Life for life. Limb for limb. Come on up. You want to know what to do? Come on up and lay on a cross, and we'll pound nails through your hands and your feet. And we'll suspend you between heaven and earth and let the fowls of the air come and peck at your corrupting body." He didn't say that. Isn't God good? Peter said, "Repent." Oh, what an opportunity. I have sinned against God, but there is hope for me. I can repent.
Yes, praise God.
God granted unto the Gentiles repentance, the Bible says. Just think about that. So if you are here today with your conscience troubling you, burdening you, you can get rid of that guilty conscience by repenting of your sins and coming to an old-fashioned altar and asking Jesus to forgive you, and his blood will cleanse you of your sins. Wonderful. What a gospel. And then all we need to do is obey and be baptized in his name. How many have been baptized in his name? Be baptized in Jesus' name, Peter said. In the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. And then the Lord has a wonderful blessing waiting for you. Not this one. He's got a wonderful blessing waiting for you. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. No, God didn't make a mistake when he gave the keys to the Apostle Peter. Now you can turn to Acts chapter 15, verse 7 through 9. Acts 15, verse 7. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up. Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, ye know how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth, not your mouth, my mouth, right? He gave Peter the keys. That by my mouth, the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of God and believe. And God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us. The Apostle Paul said, though I, God didn't give me the keys to the kingdom. He gave them to Peter. Even though I or an angel from heaven preach unto you any other gospel that has been preached unto you, let him be accursed. That's what the Bible says. Hey, there's not two ways to heaven or three ways to heaven or a dozen ways to heaven. I know the world says all roads lead to Rome. But somebody stood here and said, I'm not interested in going to Rome. I'm interested in going to heaven. One road leads to heaven. Jesus said, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Praise the Lord. So did God make a mistake? No, God didn't make any mistake. Amen. Or did Peter make a mistake when he said that God bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost like he did unto us? No. No, amen. And proof that God made no mistake. He bore witness by giving them, the Gentiles, the Holy Ghost, just like the Jews received the Holy Ghost. That's proof right there that God didn't make a mistake. They received the very same thing. Amen. And I think it is the people that are making the mistake when they insinuate that God made a mistake. Praise the Lord. Did God make a mistake when he sent an angel to the house of Cornelius? The angel who told Cornelius to call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter, who while he was preaching to those Gentiles, they began to speak with other tongues. And when he heard them speak with other tongues, and after they had their good time speaking in tongues, he said, I command you to be baptized in the name of the Lord. That's Jesus. Praise the Lord. Now, if Peter's message on the day of Pentecost was wrong, if Acts 2:38 is not the crux of the matter, if that's not the foundation of the whole New Testament teaching on salvation, then Peter made a mistake. Jesus made a mistake for giving Peter the keys. Peter made a mistake for using the keys. The angel of God, sent from God from heaven, made a mistake when he went to the house of Peter and told Cornelius to call, and went to the house of Cornelius and told Cornelius to call for one whose surname is Peter. If Peter blundered, so did the angel. So did God. Praise the Lord. Did God make a mistake when he sent an angel to the prison and released Peter? Why release the man if he's making mistakes? Leave him in prison. But God sent an angel to get him out of prison so he could keep preaching this Holy Ghost message, this forgiveness message, this repentance message, this Jesus' name baptism message. And that's just what they did. Praise the Lord. So if Peter is blundering, keep him locked up. But the angel set him free so he could keep preaching this glorious message. Well, what is the proper attitude? How should people respond to preaching about the baptism of the Holy Ghost? The question in the apostles' day was not, is the Holy Ghost necessary or anything like that? No. I find an attitude expressed right in the scripture, and that is, then they, Acts 2:41, Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Gladly. Why don't people hear the word of God? Check their Bibles to see if the preacher is preaching the word of God, and then respond to the command gladly. Why is that? Why have attitudes changed so much? Darkness covering the earth. Evil men and seducers waxing worse and worse. Faithlessness. Faith diminishing everywhere. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The promise stands good. I better let it go. I have more to say, but let's stand.